Psalms 119, verses 10 through 13 as our main text. And as you know, I like to put all of my lessons into sections. And the first section is called, Whose Report Will You Believe? And we're going to talk about developing a love for the Word of God. Developing a love for God's Word. The second one is called, In the Beginning. We'll talk about meditation. We'll talk about the stages of memorizing Scripture. Then we'll talk about Let There Be. We're talking about talking and speaking the Word of God. And then thirdly, we'll talk about the living word. We'll talk about applying the word of God. So we're going to talk about getting a love for God's word, getting God's word in your mind, getting God's word in your speech, and eventually getting God's word into your actions. And that, when you follow that process, that's how you really know that someone knows Scripture. It's not that they're able to quote it, but they're actually able to live it. And so it doesn't matter how many verses you can quote. If you can't apply any of it, and if you can't live any of it, then you really don't know God's word. And we'll kind of answer that. I'll deal with that topic when we get to the final section. So first, our main text, Psalm 119, verse 10 says, With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let me just kind of camp on that verse just for a minute. The psalmist here says that he's hidden the word of God inside of his heart. Biblically speaking, the heart symbolizes a person's will and their motives. When we talk about the heart, we're talking about your motives, your will, your desires. And so when David, or whoever actually is the writer of this particular psalm, when he talks about hiding God's word inside of your heart, he's talking about really getting God's word inside of your desires, inside of your motives, that the reasons why you do what you do is because of God's word is prompting you to do it. And the fact of the matter is God's word is God's will for our lives. Whenever we don't know what God's will is, we need to turn to the Word, because God's Word is the thing that tells us exactly what His will is. And so if you have God's will inside of your heart, then you will fulfill God's will and you will do and apply God's Word in your everyday life. And so we want to be sure that we hide God's Word, or we implant God's Word into our heart and into our will. And the reason why we do that is so that we do not sin against Thee. We don't sin against God. The Bible talks about in Galatians, I believe, 5, verses 16 through 17, that if you walk in the flesh, you will not fulfill the lust of the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Y'all have to pray for me. I'm running about 3 hours of sleep, so just work with me. So if I start talking backwards and do some dyslexic stuff, just nod your head and say, okay, yeah, all right, you know. Okay, just mess with you. So anyway, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. People always ask the question, well, how do I walk in the Spirit? Very simply, walk in the Spirit doesn't necessarily mean walking some Holy Ghost-induced trance. But actually, walk in the Spirit is just walking according to the Word. Because the Word of God always is in agreement with the Spirit of God. And so if you know the Word, when you're in a circumstance, you won't have to wait for some, you know, feeling to overtake you, some twinge or some goosebump. If you know the Word, and the Word describes that situation, you already know what you're supposed to do. And therefore, the next step is just doing it. So that's something that kind of removes us out of the way as far as, well, I didn't feel led to do this. Well, if the Word tells you to do it, then why aren't you doing it? You know, why are you waiting for some God to hijack you and start driving you around and forcing your hand on people to do stuff? If you know what the Word says, just do what the Word says. But if you're doing that, you're being led of the Spirit. You don't have to wait for some trance or God to hijack you. Just do what the Word says. So thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And so we're really talking about getting the word of God in our heart and fulfilling God's principles. Verse 13 says, With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And you can see that progression of having God's word in your heart, then eventually it's coming out of your mouth and you're declaring it and being taught of God his statutes. So let's get into our first section, which is whose report will you believe? And of course, that's a song that we've sung in church, and actually it's a quotation of a verse in the Old Testament, and even Paul references it in the book of Romans, that who hath believed our report? When it talks about believing the report of God, we're really talking about really listening to the report of God. And one of the things that I've noticed in the body of Christ at large, especially in America, is that we do not have a love for the Word. When I mean that we don't have a love for the Word, that we'll do anything that we, you know, we'll do anything else but really get into the Word and really allow the Word to get inside of us. And what I mean by that is that we esteem the words of men or the resources or the information of men more than we do God. It's like, well, how can you make that conclusion? It's very simple, that We want to know what's on Facebook, what's on Twitter, what's on the news, or what's the latest gossip, but instead of picking up our Bible, we'll pick up our phone and start getting on Facebook or Twitter or social media to find out what's the latest whatever. And then we won't spend any time in the Word because we esteem the words of men, or we esteem the latest whatever's going out in the world over the Word of God. And because of that, we are ignorant of God's Word. We're not walking in the fullness of God's promises. As I said, there is a lack of reverence, interest, and respect for the Word of God, leading people to esteem the words of other sources more than God's words. We have to get a love for the Word. I mean, just wanting to just really get ourselves in the whenever we're reading the Bible, you are hearing Almighty God speaking to you. People often say, well, God doesn't talk to me. If you're reading the Bible, that is God talking to you. So you don't have to wait for the clouds to part and some sunbeam to come down with a big baritone voice saying, behold. You know, you have to wait for that. If you just open the Word of God and just read it, that is God speaking directly to you. Instead of chasing down prophets and prophetesses and going to the next conference to get a word, just open the Bible. It's over 4,000 years worth of words that God has spoken over our lives. We have to get that word inside of our heart. We need to get a respect and a reverence for God's word. And that also means believing God's word over the words of others or circumstances or situations. You can't really see it too well on the screen, but I have a Bible on here, and it's covered in dust, and it has written in there, read me. And unfortunately, that is the case for a lot of people in God, that they don't read the Bible. And I'm going to get into some reasons as to why that is the case. But in John chapter 6, verse 67, in John chapter 6, Jesus has been talking to the multitudes. He's recently multiplied the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He's just fed the 5,000. He's crossed over the Sea of Galilee and calmed the sea. And these people that were fed by those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, they want to get more information from Jesus. And Jesus starts having this dialogue with them and saying that he's the bread of life, and that if you really want to be saved and enter God's kingdom, then you have to drink of his blood and eat his flesh. And they're like, I'm not trying to get down with that. And so they all abandon him. And so it's just the 12 that's left now. So Jesus asked this question to the 12. He says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Will you also abandon me whenever I give these commands and I start expounding upon what the will of God is concerning your life? Verse 68 says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. If we were to realize that no other word can raise the dead, no other word can satisfy your soul, no other word can truly bring peace to your circumstance, how would we really behave concerning the word of God? And that also means then shutting out the words of others so that we can fully hear the word of God. There is so much static and so much interference that's just in the atmosphere and also just in our daily lives that prevents us from really listening to God's word. I'm just going to kind of testify a little bit, and my wife understands this very well, that whenever she tells me something, a lot of times I may say yes and I'll nod my head and everything, but my mind might be somewhere else, and I don't hear it. Because there's just my mind is distracted with, you know, my son or something else, or my mind's thinking about work or whatever. And then she has to tell me again, and then I get in trouble. But no. But the thing is, the reason why we're distracted. We got too much stuff. We have to just shut everything off so that we can hear God properly. But we have to realize, just as Peter said, where else can we go? What other word do I need to hear? You have the very words of eternal life. That's the type of understanding we need to have, a respect and a love, a reverence for God's word. As I said, our minds and our hearts are bombarded with just what's on the airways, on the news, what's on television. And because of that, we're watching all this stuff, we're watching our TV shows and whatever. Our hearts are not open to receive what God has to say. We're trying to find out what's on Facebook or, you know, looking what's on YouTube or Intuit or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever. We are so bombarded by so much just stuff that when it comes to God's word, our mind is going all over the place. Even now, as I'm talking right now, because we have so much distractions, as I'm teaching, your mind's thinking about, you know, a basketball game, or could be thinking about your TV show or what's for dinner or whatever. We get so easily distracted. We're so all over the place that we're unable to truly focus on what God has to say. And so it's very difficult. It's very important that we really just start blocking stuff out. And that's something I've really had to do, is that I've had to start cutting things out of my life so I can really hear what God has to say on a particular subject. Amos 8:11 says this, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There is a famine for really, really hearing the word of the Lord. I mean, really hearing it, understanding it, internalizing it, comprehending it, and applying it to our everyday lives. And because of that, we are not walking in the fullness that God has for us. God has so much better for us. God has so many blessings for us. And just to kind of give you an idea just how powerful the Word of God is, and I've testified about this before, and I'll just do it again, that just me hearing the Word of God, it does something to me. It has done something to me physically, that a lot of times when I've gotten sick, I have a CD of healing scriptures by Kenneth Hagin. I just put that CD on, and he just reads scriptures on God healing the sick and raising the dead and God's promises for healing. And I've listened to that CD, and just listening to the Word of God, just hearing it, I've been healed of viruses, of fevers, and all colds, and all sorts of stuff. I can remember very distinctly one time I was driving with my dad down to Michigan, and I had a fever, and I had a runny nose, and I was coughing and stuff, and I put that CD on. And I can remember, as the scripture was being read, I can remember the exact moment where I just felt the Spirit of God being released in me from hearing the Word of God and the fever lifting off out of my body, just from hearing God's Word. Just hearing God's Word. God's Word is medicine to our body. And the fact is, we have to really, I mean, go after that thing. And the thing is also, God doesn't really command us to read the Word. He really wants us to study the Word, all right? Reading the Word is not enough. You need to study the Word, which means to investigate, to find out and draw out the full meaning as to what God is saying. Because you can, you know, have your daily reading or whatever and not get anything out of it. But if you study it, which means to really investigate and figure out what is God actually trying to say here and how can I apply that to my life, then that's where we start to experience growth. And so God talks about there is a famine for hearing the Word of God. And I want to talk about three different reasons as to why there is a famine for hearing God's Word. One, people have rejected God's Word and don't want to listen. People rejected God's Word and they don't want to listen. And there's many reasons as to why that is. As I just stated before, distractions. The other is also because whenever you're hearing God's Word, you're now being held accountable for what God's Word is saying. And a lot of us, we don't want to change. We don't want to give up that thing that we have in our life, and I'm so preaching myself right now. We don't want to give that thing up, and so we're just like, ah, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear what God has to say, because if I hear that, that means I got to do something about it. You know, we just want to kind of keep on walking down the road of mediocrity and moving on, but the fact of the matter is people reject the Word of God. Something that a Bible teacher's name is Curry Blake said that really kind of stuck with me. He's like, every time you choose to do something, you're also choosing not to do something. Think about that. Every time you make a choice to do something, you are also choosing not to do something. So that when you're choosing, and I'm really meddling here, so when you choose to, you know, watch this movie, you're also choosing not to pray or not to read the Word of God. You are rejecting an opportunity to get closer to God. And the thing is, I understand this completely because, you know, you get home from work, you've had a long day, you don't want to think about anything, at least I'm talking as a man anyway, we go to our nothing box, that we just want to sit there and just like, ah, happy thoughts, nothing, ah. You know, we want to just like to space out and not have to deal with anything. We want to put on our TV show and just kind of just be in our happy land, you know. But no, we gotta turn that off. You know, we're just filling ourselves with junk. It's just crowding our heart. It's distracting us, and so we gotta turn it off and get the Word of God on. You know, to encourage us and to bless us. Again, people don't want to listen. Two of their hearts, again, as I just stated earlier, their hearts are full of the things of the world, leaving no room for God's Word. You know, I've actually tested this in the youth before. I can't remember if I've done it with this youth group. I might have. But I'd ask, you know, name a popular song that's out there. And you guys could probably tell me the entire lyrics of that song. You can say verse 1, verse 2, chorus, whatever. You could rap the whole thing, rap a whole paragraph. But then quote one scripture. Like, Jesus wept? Now, come on, man, really? So you can quote paragraphs of information. Or you'll know the stats of every basketball player that's playing right now. You know all this information. You know codes to Call of Duty. You know, you have all this stuff memorized, all these statistics memorized, but you can't quote one verse. It's because we esteem that information more valuable than we do the Word of God. There's no room for us to get any word in us because we're so, what's the word, just congested with just junk. We got to clear this stuff out. Thirdly, the word's effectiveness is nullified through misinterpretation and misapplication. Another reason why that there's a fan of the word is because we don't understand what we're reading. That may be, I'd say, one of the biggest reasons why people do not read the word of God, because they have no idea what it's talking about. You know, they start seeing thou and therefore and hitherto and all this other stuff, this King James English. And like, I don't know what this is talking about. You know, okay, you know, Jesus, he walked on water, but how does that have to do with my life right now? And they also see no connection or application of the information that they're gaining. And so because of that, it's like, why do I want to read this? You know, this has nothing to do with me. And because of that, they don't read it and they don't grow. Because they've not been taught how to study. They've been taught maybe to read, but they've not been taught how to study or to ask questions. They're just, okay, I'm reading the Bible. But they don't actually ask questions as to what is God actually trying to say here? What does this mean? And so because of that, the word of God, there's a famine that is there. There's a famine of really just believing the word of God. And so when you get in a crisis, you're faced with a situation, and you go, let's say, you know, your heart is like a bank, you know, and the one thing that can pay for your situation right now, the only currency that's accepted is scripture, all right? Lyrics to a Jay-Z song isn't going to pay for this, all right? This isn't going to handle the situation. The only currency that can pay for the situation that you're in is the word of God. And you go into your bank account and there's no scripture there, guess what? You're going to get run over. That situation is going to dominate you. That situation is going to defeat you. Okay, I've used this example before. Imagine that you're in a war, all right? You're on the battlefield. And that, of course, battles are won and lost depending on the amount of resources, particularly ammunition, in order to win that fight. Let's say that the word of God, scriptures, are like bullets. Your mouth and your heart and your mind is like the gun. How many bullets do you think you have to shoot down the devils that are in your life? Think about that. He's coming at you and you got nothing. There's no bullet in the chamber. There's no, it is written in the chamber. What if Jesus, you know, when Satan came to Jesus to tempt him, said, well, you know, if you're the son of God, why don't you turn these stones to bread? Well, okay, I don't know, you know. No, there has to be something there that, you know, so we got to really get this word. I'm really trying to drive this point because if you don't have a love for the word of God, none of the other stuff is going to work out, all right? You got to love hearing God talk to you. You have to understand that the words of God framed the very heavens and the earth and created the molecules that comprised your body and the pew that you're sitting on. That's how powerful the word of God is. But we want to fill our head with the words of men, the words of statistics, the words of Facebook, the words of politicians, the words of whatever. We got to esteem the word of God. I mean, really revere and respect God's word. So here's some scriptures on this. They don't want to listen. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We quote that first part all the time. But if you keep reading, God goes a bit further. He says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. He said, look, the reason why you guys are ignorant isn't because I haven't told you anything. Isn't because I'm not giving the opportunity to better yourself. It's because you've rejected the information I'm trying to give you. And so because of that, because you're rejecting my word, I'm rejecting you. And the scripture even talks about that you know, that if you ignore what the word of God is saying, why are you praying and asking God to do something for you? Why don't you just do what God already told you to do? Because God's not going to necessarily honor your prayer to do something for you when you are completely rejecting what his word is saying. Think about that. We have to really start applying God's word in our lives. I know this sounds kind of heavy and stuff, but I gotta hammer this point, okay? We've got to get a love for God's word. Got to get a love for God's word. I saw this video on Facebook. I wish I had it with me, of these Chinese Christians receiving Bibles for the first time. I'm not sure if you guys have ever seen that video. You've seen that video? These Chinese Christians, in China, it's illegal to even, you know, really even have a Bible. There's a famine for the word that's there. And so when these Bibles arrived, and these Chinese Christians saw the boxes being opened and saw Bibles in them, they ran at them as if they were like at Golden Corral and they hadn't eaten for 3 days. They just, wow, Bible! And you've watched the Christians were taking, they were hugging the Bibles and weeping over them, just holding a Bible in their hand. We have it so good here. We can get a Bible anytime you want. You can get a Bible on your phone. I mean, look on the internet. It's easy to get a Bible here. Over there, you'll be killed for having one or beaten to death. And so when they saw the Word of God, they wept over it. They cried over it because it's that precious. Could we ever have an attitude towards God word like that, where it was so precious that it would cause us to weep or even fight over just hearing that word? That's the attitude we got to have. Know him for the word. I have a picture of up here of a heart. It's a heart, of course, as you can see, that is overrun with cholesterol. Yeah, that's not how your heart's supposed to look. You can see all the grease and the fat that's in that heart. The reason why you have a heart attack is because that the blood is unable to flow due to buildup of grease or other debris in your arteries and in your veins. And so the blood is unable to flow in your body. And because of that, your brain gets starved and it gets blocked up and clogged up and you have a heart attack. Look what the Bible says about the heart. In the same chapter we were reading in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 verse 69 says, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law." It is the epitome of pride and egotism to say, well, I don't really need God's word. Look what he says here before. "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." So his next statement he's describing is the proud. Their heart, the proud, is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It's a proud thing to say, well, I don't really need the word of God today. I don't really need to know the word of God. It's a proud thing. The reason why you're saying that is because your heart is clogged up with all sorts of fat and all sorts of junk. And so the blood of Jesus Christ is not able to flow, and so you have a heart attack. We got to get that word inside of our heart. Mark 4:18, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus talks about the parable of the sower. And he talks about how the seed is the word of God, and there's different types of soil that the seed falls upon. And the soil represents the hearts of men. It's very interesting what he says here in Mark 4:18 about this particular soil. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." The thing is, one of the problems we have in the church is that we're not producing the fruit of the Spirit. And we know what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's love, it's joy, it's goodness, it's long-suffering, it's peace, it's faith. The thing is, you cannot have a fruit until you have a seed. The fruit of the Spirit starts off as a seed, and the seed is the Word of God. You get the Word of God in your heart, it then produces the fruit of God. And the fact of the matter is that the seed is unable to grow and to mature and to produce fruit because our hearts are clogged and are clouded with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts or the desires for other things. That God's word cannot fully get into our heart and change our motives because we are pursuing and chasing things that have nothing to do with our purpose in the kingdom of God. You're pursuing a career, you're pursuing a relationship, you're pursuing this, you're pursuing that. And because of that, there is no room for God's word to fully take root in our heart and for us to really be changed by it. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." That the born again experience, we talk about being born of water and of the Spirit. And that's, again, I'm not minimizing that. But really, all that stuff starts off with a word. Because you can't get saved unless someone preaches to you the Word of God. The Word of God is what really causes the change. And the true birth starts by being born again of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, which lives and abides. It stays and remains forever. That's how important the Word of God is. And so we have to really get that reverence that's there. And I'll say this last point before I move on to... Actually, no, I do have another point after this. I forgot. Actually, I'll skip this part. The word is nullified through misinterpretation. Mark chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such things do ye." That we're not, you know, sometimes we get frustrated with trying to do what the word of God says because we're not seeing a result. We're not seeing a manifestation. And one of the reasons why we don't see a result, we don't see manifestation, is because we're trying to apply the word of God in our own way. Or we're mixing it with a man-made tradition that has nothing to do with God's word. Nothing to do with God's word. And God's word is nullified. The power of it is nullified. It's not effectual in our lives. And because of that, we become disenfranchised. We give up. And we don't want to learn the word of God. We got to get that reverence. We got to fully study the word of God and to investigate it so we get a good understanding of it. David said in Psalm 119:162, and I'll be reading this verse later on in the presentation, he said that, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Great spoil. And you've heard me say this before, but I think it's very appropriate for the topic. That David's reaction to hearing God speak was like someone winning the lottery. That, you know, if you ever watch these publishers clearing houses or someone winning a lottery ticket or something like that, or if you just found like, you know, a coupon in your pocket, or if you found some money in your Bible like I did this week, which is pretty awesome. Found some money in my Bible that I wasn't expecting. And I was like, oh, You know, you have that moment, just you rejoice. Someone, they get that publishing clearinghouse check or that lotto ticket, and they start going crazy. You know, they got their weaves falling out, and they got the bathrobe on. They're just running around the yard, you know, just going crazy. And they don't care who looks at them or what's going on, because they know, like, no, I am set for life. You know, I've got this check. I am good. David said, you know, my reaction to hearing God speak is like that guy. Because to hear God speak is like winning the lottery. Because whatever God says about the situation is, I know I'm good, I'm covered. That's the respect that they had for the word of God. We got to have that reverence and that respect. Okay, got through that stuff. Any questions or comments before I move on? All right. Section number two, in the beginning. Okay, now I've kind of gotten that part out of the way about getting a love for God's word. Now we're going to get into some actual practical steps and really internalizing and memorizing the word of God. So question one, what are the three stages of scripture memorization? Now, this is a system I set up for myself and how I learn how to memorize scripture. I started doing this when I was about 12 or 13 years old. I started kind of practicing these premises, these procedures. And because of that, now the word of God is just, it's in my heart, it's in my head, it's in my actions. And so I want to talk about these three stages. If you follow these three stages, you will learn the word of God. All right? So the first stage I like to call is the logo stage. And I'll give you definitions of all three of these as we go along. The second is the rhema stage. And the third is the agapeo stage. There's the logo stage, the rhema stage, and then there's the agapeo stage. And you should recognize these words. Pastor's been teaching on the Greek for the word in the scripture. And we're going to use these definitions as kind of a launching point for our stage or in developing our memorization of the scripture. So there's the logo stage, there's the rhema stage, and then there's the agapeo stage. First, let's talk about the logo stage. In John chapter 1, verse 1, you guys have all heard this before. It says that in the beginning was the word, or the logos, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now, the word logos means the ideas, concepts, or thoughts, the plans that God has. So when we start talking about the plan or the logos, we're talking about the idea, the thoughts. It's really getting into your head, the plan, the idea, or the concept of God's word. And so that really is the first step in memorizing God's word, is first getting it into your head and meditating on the word of God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that was made by God was made with a plan, was made with an idea, with a thought, with a concept in mind, that by God's wisdom that he formed and he created the heavens and the earth. And so we start getting God's word in our heart, or in our head, I should say. We're getting God's ideas, his thoughts, into our head. And because you know God's thoughts, you know God's plan, and then you're able to navigate through life without stumbling or falling, so to speak. So question number two I want to ask is, what is meditation? And this is going to be a bit of some review because pastor's kind of already addressed this issue already. But meditation, or meditate, comes from the Hebrew word haga, which means to muse, think, study, or to mutter to oneself. That to meditate, it means to talk to yourself, to really chew, to really analyze, to really think about, study, investigate, internalize a particular subject or thought, to really get it inside of your heart and inside of your head. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Really chewing and going over the word of God, combing over the word of God, over a verse, to really get it inside of your head. Sister Audrey, you had a comment. No, we want it on the recording. So here we go.
I know you have probably talked about this before, but when you get to this, what are some ways that people can do this or can train their mind, or some tips that you would suggest that can help you meditate, or maybe some tips or things that you've done to help you memorize the Word of God?
I'm going to answer that question directly, I believe, in this section. So I'm getting to that. I'm going to start giving you guys some tips. So I'm talking about what you need to do, then I'm going to tell you, well, how do I do that? All right, so this isn't just like, just do this, go do that, you know. No, I'm going to tell you how to do it. So we're getting there. Question number three is, what benefits do we receive from meditation? And Psalms 1:1 tells us this, that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, let's just break this down for a minute. So God calls you blessed, that if you do not listen or adhere to the counsel or the wisdom or the advice of an ungodly person, All right, you're blessed because an ungodly person is only going to lead you far away from God, and their wisdom has been tainted and corrupted by the influence of Satan, because Satan is the god of this world, and everything he operates through is through our senses, and so he can manipulate and deceive and cause us to stumble and fall. And God says, bless. You know, actually, that Hebrew word there, bless, can also be translated happy. Happy is the man that walketh not. You'll experience more joy, which I talked about last week. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And there's different ways you could take that. You could say standing in the way of sinners means that you're living a lifestyle that is sinful, that you're standing in the way of sin. You're hanging out with people that are sinners and doing the things they're doing. Another way you could look at it is that you are standing in the way of sinners coming to Christ because you're being so self-righteous or whatever. You know, you're standing in the way of the sinner who's trying to come to Christ, and the way that you're living is becoming a stumbling block to other people. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, that you're happy also if you're not sitting in a seat that you're constantly judging other people and looking at people and ribbing people and mocking people and belittling people and demeaning them, that God calls you happy and blessed when you're not scornful. You know, goes and say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, mutter to oneself, saying it over and over and over again. The mother of memory is repetition. If you really want to remember something, just repeat it enough, and eventually you'll remember it, okay? You remember it over and over and over again. And for those of you who have children, and you have to watch, you know, different shows, and they have a lot of singing a lot, and they sing this, you know, and your kid may like that song a lot, you may hear that song a lot, to the point where you can't get it out of your head. And even as you're, you know, you're driving the car, like, well, you start singing this, you know, A, B, C, D, E, why am I singing that? You know, you start singing, the wheels on the bus go round, and my son loves that song, and it's driving me crazy. And so I'm at work. I'm, you know, working on a product, also, the wheels on the bus. Why? Because you've heard it so much to where it's become self-sustaining, and it just keeps popping up in your head. So one of the keys to memorization is just repetition. Repeating it so much that it starts to become self-sustaining. It just pops in your head at random now. You know, you ever been in the store and shopping, all some dumb song is on there, it's on the radio, and then you leave, it's like, man, I got that song in my head, and you keep singing it. Why? Because you just kept hearing it, you kept hearing it over and over again. I know this because when I worked in retail, I used to work for Office Depot, and they just had, sometimes they had the radio on, and the radio would just play basically the same songs over and over again. And eventually you'd learn the song, and you didn't want to know the song, but it is what it is. So thing is, repetition, meditating or musing, thinking, muttering to oneself day and night. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that is a really good blessing. God says that one, that situations will not be able to shake you or move you. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In other words, that you are connected directly to a source of life, of sustenance, and blessing. That a tree, its ability to grow and to produce fruit is really its ability to get sustenance or resources from water. And so if it's by a river, it never runs out. It doesn't have to rely on the rain. It doesn't rely on someone, you know, watering it with a hose. It's connected to a direct resource. So when you are meditating on God's word, you are directly connecting yourself to a resource of blessing. That's amazing. What a blessing in meditation. Joshua 1:8 says this, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way, must got cut off, I'll quote it, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success. You'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success because you're thinking about God's word, and God's word will direct your paths. God's word will lead you and guide you in your decision making and cause you to always come out on top. And also, again, it will sustain you. When things are getting crazy and hectic, you're not flustered or not moved by it because you know what God's word says. When you're solid on your faith on God's word, nothing will faze you. Nothing will get to you because I already know what it says. The end of this story has already been written. So I'm not getting nervous because I already know how it's going to end. So even though things are going crazy and everything, I'm not bothered by it because I know what the Word of God says. That's another blessing about meditating, is because you become so sure about the Word of God, nothing phases you. For example, all right, if I were to come up to you and say, you know, well, what's your name? You say, let's just say, your name is Joanne. I said, no, your name isn't Joanne, your name is Diana. I said, what do you want, fool? Like, no, my name is Joanne. I said, no, it's not Diana. You would not be deceiving me telling you your name is Diana, would you? You know your own name, right? And there's nothing I could say to convince you otherwise. What if you are that confident about what the Word of God says? Well, no matter what I said, I could not convince you that this is not true. That you know the Word of God and you believe the Word of God just as much as you know and believe that you know your own name. Or that you know that this is your mother or this is your father. You know, I couldn't convince you that, you know, that person is not your mother. You know, that person is not your father. No, they are. You know, I know this for a fact. There's no wavering and moving all over the place because you know it completely, totally within and without. That's the benefit of knowing God's word. And that's why Jesus was not shaken by anything that came his way. Not only did he know the word, because he was the word. He knew the word like his own name because the word was his name. So, I mean, that's the place we want to get to. Romans 8:5 says this, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Again, if you're carnally minded, if you're of the flesh, you're going to pursue fleshly things. You're going to pursue fleshly desires to feed and to satisfy your flesh. Look what the Bible says here. "For to be carnally minded," to think like that, to think like a person that is unsaved, that's ungodly, or to think like a human being and not like God, the Bible says to be carnally minded, to be humanly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you're experiencing death in a part of your life, it's a place where you're being carnal. Because the carnal mind will always produce death. The spiritual mind will always produce life and will produce peace in your situation. Psalm 119 verse 165 says this, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Nothing will offend you or faze you because you know what the truth is. You're solid on it. That's the benefit of meditation. Psalm 119 verse 127 says, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." That when you are meditating on God's word, you develop a love for God's ways and a hatred for things that are sinful. And because of that, then temptation loses its power over you because you can't be tempted with something that you hate, right? If I had if you name a food that you hate, you know, I don't know what it is. For me, I'll just name one that I hate. I hate bananas. Can't stand bananas. They drive me bananas. I can't stand them, all right? They make me puke. I throw every time I've eaten them, all right? I don't like bananas. So if you held a banana and say, you know, "Hey, if you do this to me, I'll give you this banana." What you think? Like, it's like, no, I'm not. Get that out of my face. I hate bananas. You can't be tempted with something that you hate. So if you get God's word in your heart, you start to love the things that God loves, and you start hating the things God hates, and then the devil loses his power to tempt you and manipulate you. He says, "I hate every false way." Every false way. Absolutely astounding. So, meditation benefits. One, you'll be successful in what you do if you're meditating on God's word. That in and of itself should sell the word of God right there. If you meditate on this, you'll be successful in whatever you do. It's pretty awesome, you know. Two, life and peace. You'll experience life, literally and spiritually. Because again, as I said before, the word of God is its life. It's health to our flesh. And that you can be healed just by meditating the word of God. And it brings peace of mind because you're not offended or bothered by the situation or the circumstances that you're confronting because you already know what God said about the situation. Thirdly, it's easy to resist sin and temptation because God's will is now hidden in your heart. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." It equips you to defeat the devil. Again, Jesus was not, nervous or was not struggling to combat the devil's advances. He was already equipped. Again, he had scripture in his gun, so to speak. He had bullets in his gun to pop the devil's lies out. And that's the same way that we need to be. We need to be equipped with the word of God. And again, it gives you revelation and insight. When you're meditating on the word of God, you'll start seeing things in the scripture that you've never seen before. Scripture you've read 1,000 times, but more that you keep thinking about it, God will start to deal with you on it and start showing you things on it that you never noticed before. So those are just five basic benefits of just meditating on the word of God. Okay, now let's get into some actual practical steps. How do I do this? How do I actually do this thing? All right, there are two types of memorization. We're talking about scripture memorization. There are two types of memorization. One, there's the general method, and then there's the specific method. This is something that I developed to help me remember verses. All right, there's the general, and then there's the specific. The general method first is, in general memorization, one memorizes where the approximate or exact location of a scripture is on any given topic. This method is used for remembering stories or events. So, for example, I use this to remember events in the Bible. For example, you just say, well, where in the Bible does it say that David fought Goliath? That's 1 Samuel chapter 17. Or if I wanted to know where the story of Samson, that's his story starts in Judges chapter 13 and goes to chapter 16. Or I want to find out where Jesus casts out the legion out of that man, the man who's possessed with thousands of devils. That's Mark chapter 5. Now, I'm not quoting it to you, but I'm telling you where it is. That's general memorization. So I can tell you where it's found. I have an idea, and I can tell you or outline what that chapter talks about. That's general memorization, okay? So, and sometimes you can even get into quoting it as well, but I may not be able to quote it exactly and kind of give you the gist of it. That's general memorization. So, because if you wanted to, let's say, learn a whole chapter, I'm not saying it's impossible to do it. It's just easy just to get the highlights or just kind of remember where it's at. So if you're in a conversation and someone asks a question regarding this particular topic, you know where it's at. General memorization. So if I want to know, of course, the day of Pentecost is Acts chapter 2, right? Everyone knows that, of course. You know, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. That's John chapter 11. See, that's general memorization. So I'm not quoting it to you, but I can tell you where it's at and give you the highlights of what it's talking about. So that's one method that you can use. Now, there's the specific method, which is, in specific memorization, one memorizes the exact location of a verse and is able to quote it precisely as it is written, okay? Now, the thing is, doing this, as I said, is first, of course, you got to meditate, which means to really repeat the thing, really, really read it multiple times. But I'm going to tell you the secret to memorization. The secret to memorization is also organization, all right? The best way to remember scripture is to do it by topic. Don't just memorize random scriptures because then it's hard to recall. But if you have it by topic, then it's easy, it's organized, and it's easy to recall. For example, let's say I wanted to quote scriptures on faith, all right? So I go in my brain, I think, okay, scriptures on faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Matthew chapter 17, now the exact verse is escaping me, I believe it's verse 18. If thou hast faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, be removed hence from yonder place, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Mark 11:23 goes on to say the same thing, and I can just go down the list. Why? That's specific memorization, and I'm doing it by topic. If I just say, hey, quote a scripture, it's kind of hard to just pull something out of the bag. But if you have a topic, the topic prompts you to recall the verse. So the way that I memorize scripture is I have a list of topics in my brain, and when someone asks me a question, my brain goes to that topic and starts reading down the list of verses that are there. You see, and that's how when someone asks me a question on pretty much anything, I can give you at least maybe two or three verses on that topic. You know, want to talk about, let's say, healing. Okay, Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. Surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, bless the Lord, O my soul. I just had a memory blank there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. You know, just going on and on. James 5, 14 through 15 talks about healing. I just go down the list. That's how you do it. You get a topic, and you get scriptures. You compile a list. Write those verses on this list, and then go through the week reading that list out. And then it's organized. So then when someone asks you a question about something, you suddenly have a verse that deals with that topic. Instead of just pulling verses out of the blue. So that makes the thing so much easier when you do it there by topic. So again, logo stage steps. The very first step you want to do, choose a topic. Choose a topic. Choose a topic on something that is something you're dealing with in life. Something you might be struggling with. Again, it could be sickness that we've really been struggling with that this week, it seems. Or maybe it's finances, you know. Maybe it's peace. You have no peace in your heart or your mind. Find verses that deal with that topic and start reading those guys and start meditating on them. And so then when a situation comes up that is under that topic, you just pull out that sheet in your brain and you just start reading down the list. And that's a very easy way to remember stuff. So that's how I remember scripture, is I do it by topic, not just memorizing just random scriptures. You do that, it's very hard to remember stuff. It's very hard to recall information when you have it organized under a topic. And so first you want to do is choose a topic. Two, you want to research the scriptures, which means, you know, compile a list of verses that deal with that topic. And then thirdly, meditate, which means to repeat. Say it over and over and over again. Read it over and over again. Over and over until it gets in your head. It gets stuck in your head. Now, here's some tips on how to do that. All right? One, mark or underline in your Bible. One of the ways that I also remember scripture and how I'm also to recall stories is that I have notes in my Bible. I have underlined or highlighted things, and my brain can remember what the page looked like, where it's found. So it's easier for me to recall stuff. So if you have a Bible, mark or underline your Bible, or if you have a Bible app, which most of us do have, you can actually highlight or save or bookmark scriptures in your phone or in your tablet so that it's there and you can recall it a bit easier. Another tip, use a concordance. Now, if you don't know what a concordance is basically a list of scriptures based upon topics, which is kind of what I was just showing you just now. And you usually can find them at the back of your Bible, or if you have a good Bible like mine, you'll have in the middle of the page of the Bible, you'll have references of verses that deal with the verses that you're reading to, and they'll lead you to other verses on that topic. So use a concordance. That will help you compile a list of verses to read or to study or meditate. Third thing is find context, all right? Whenever you are quoting scripture, be sure you actually read, you know, the verses before it and after it to make sure that you're not misapplying it or misinterpreting it. At least go back like 7 verses before and after just so you get context. The context will also help you remember what the verse says. So, okay, this was going on in this story, and that's when Jesus said this. You know, that will help you in remembering the verse. So, one, we want to mark or underline in your Bible or phone or tablet. Use a concordance. And then thirdly, find context. Read what the context of the story is, because context is the mother of interpretation. If you don't have a context for something, then it's very difficult to interpret what's going on. And so find context about what is actually happening in the story or in that particular chapter. So anyway, any questions over what I said? Am I making sense thus far? All right. And like I said, I followed this since I was about age 12. I kind of developed this system of meditating, reading, repeating like crazy, and then also keeping track of topics that I've studied over the years. And so I actually made a document, and some of you have heard of it, called the Scriptural Prayer List. And in this document, it has tons of topics and has verses that deal with all those topics. And I'm going to talk about how I use that document in memorizing Scripture in the next, the third section, I believe, which we're getting to right now. How wonderful. Good segue. Let there be. So now the next stage in memorizing Scripture is the rhema stage. And rhema is a Greek word which means the spoken word or word poured out. It is the word of declaration given with divine and spiritual authority. It is also known as the word of due season. So we got the word in our head. We're meditating on it. We're thinking about it. The next stage is now speaking it. All right, and speaking it is extremely, extremely critical. I can't emphasize how powerful it is speaking the word of God. Matthew 4:4, this, by the way, is the story where Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And, of course, this one, Satan says to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. This is what Jesus says in reply. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And that word in the Greek is rhema, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that we live by the word of God, literally, because God spoke everything into existence. And we, being made in the likeness and image of God, have the same creative power to do the same. So Psalm 77, verse 11 says this, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. So notice he meditates, then he starts talking about it. I will talk about all of your doings. See the natural progression that's there. So here's some steps in the rhema stage. All right, one, recite, which means say it out loud. Say it out loud. Pray. Pray the scripture. Now, the most powerful way to pray is to pray the scripture, because the scripture is God's will for your life. And if you're praying in agreement with God's word, there's really nothing that can stop you. Because one of the reasons why we don't receive our prayers answered is because we're praying against God's will. You're asking for stuff that God doesn't even want you to have. And God's not going to give you something that's not in his will or not in his word. But if you're praying the word of God, if you're praying the will of God, the answer is an automatic yes. Also, by praying the word of God, you are stirring up the Holy Spirit within you to merge that word in your spirit and in your head as you're speaking it out loud. So, one, you want to read it out loud, and you want to pray it. And thirdly, you want to, repeat. Now, here's the thing. There is a study done by a Japanese scientist. I can't remember his name right now. This guy, he did studies on words and how it affects water. It's a very bizarre study. But he took a jar of water, and he would either bless it or curse it. He would say blessings towards that jar of water, and then he would freeze that jar of water, and then after it was frozen, he would take it out and look at it at a microscope. And when he looked at it, when the water that he blessed, it would form these amazing, intricate patterns and crystals. I mean, just amazing designs. The water that he cursed was the molecules were falling apart, and that they were like disjointed and just looked very like a blob. But the ones that he blessed formed these amazing patterns. And he even tried this with written words. He just took a jar and wrote a curse word on the label and had it facing the water. And he did the same with a blessing on it and poured it in the freezer and had the same effect. There's power in words. And the thing is this, do you know your body is made up of 70% water? So if you're constantly speaking God's word, God's blessing, it is literally rearranging the molecular structure of your body and of your mind and of your spirit into what his will is, into these intricate patterns. But if you're constantly saying filth and foul and nasty things and hearing filth and foul and nasty things, then that's why you know your body's all out of whack, your spirit's all out of whack, because it literally changes you, because the words create stuff. God created by his spoken word. God said, let there be, and there was. So that's why when you start speaking the word of God, something is literally happening to you on a biological, even a molecular level. Things can happen to your body just by speaking and reciting the word of God. When reciting the word, now here's a tip for you to really help you remember, all right? And this is something new I recently learned. And I actually tried this, and things started, I felt something happening to me when I was doing this. When reciting the word, read the verse as many times there are words, emphasizing a different word each time it is read. And I'll kind of break that down. So let's use the verse I quoted earlier, which is Psalm 119, verse 162, which says, I rejoice with thy word as one that findeth great spoil. All right? So I'm going to show you what I mean by doing this. So what I do is every word you see in there, that's how many times I'm supposed to read it. And every time I read it, I emphasize a different word as I'm reading it. So I go this. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I rejoice at thy word as one that... And you see how you keep doing that. And as you emphasize the different words, you start even noticing different meanings in the words. I did this. I remember doing this just a couple weeks ago with a verse I've been meditating on for now about 3 or 4 weeks. And as I was saying it, I felt the Holy Ghost moving in me. I could feel God changing my heart. I could feel my will being changed into something else. As I remember just distinctly reading it, I could feel it like just like bubbling over inside of me. I could just feel it as I was saying the words. And the more I said it, the more excited I became about it. And the more I began to believe what I was saying. The verse I've been meditating on is Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, which says, But those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I began saying that over and over again. Now, that's a lot of words, so you can imagine how many times I had to say it. Every word you saw in there, the number of words that are in there, that's how many times I said it out loud with passion. And that as I said it, I began to feel that passion of everything is, I count all things but loss. I count everything but dung that I may win Christ. And I could feel like I hate everything else. God, I want more of you. The more I said it, the more of a fire began to burn in me for that word and for doing God's will. And that also made it stick in my head. It also made it stick in my head. So that's a tip that can help you remember the word of God. Don't just think about it. Read it out loud. Realize so the devil can also hear you. We want him to hear too. Because he doesn't like the truth because he's a liar. So just start saying truth. Sister Melissa has a comment or a question. Let me just come on over.
I just wanted to say I was in Bible quizzing for 6 years, and this is exactly what we did. Took a verse and just repeated it over and over and over and over and over and over and over until it was stuck in our brains. But then also... following all your tips and everything, we did the Book of Psalms 1 year, and the Book of Psalms, you almost didn't need to memorize it, because it's so lyrical and so poetic, it just, like, comes very naturally. So if you're wanting to memorize and take, like, a topic like Mr. Chris has mentioned, start with Psalms. Start with, like, healing verses or blessing verses in Psalms. They just come really naturally, because they're songs, basically.
Precisely. Something I did, and I'm blessed with this because I'm a musician, is I would take the verses and I would write songs to those verses, so that also would help me remember. And so a lot of the songs that I've written over the years, it's just scripture. You can just open your Bible and just read along as I'm singing it. One of the ones that we sing here in church was My Help. I wrote that. That's based on Psalm 121, and it's also based on Psalm 91. And you can just open your Bible and pretty much just kind of read along. The concepts, the ideas of that psalm are in the songs. And that's another great way of remembering Scripture. Another good tip that you can do is also writing the verse out. There's something about muscle memory and that connects with your brain when you're writing something. Writing the verses out multiple times can also help you remember it. Also, writing the verse out on a card and have that card with you during the day. And throughout the day, just look at the card and read it to yourself throughout the day so it's constantly in your head, meditating on the word day and night. That's another tip that you can also do. Brother Phil has a comment or question.
Actually, in school, I just better study tips, you know, how to study better and how to study smarter. And one of the things that we learned was the environment that you're in. If you're reading your Bible and if you're trying to memorize and the TV's on, you're going to be more likely to remember that while the TV's on. You know, if you're listening to music, you can memorize better with music on, you know. But if you listen to silence and you have nothing on, it's easier to recall it in the environment that you're in. But then also you have to know, okay, sometimes that might not work for me, you know, for that specific subject or for maybe Psalms or maybe for Luke or maybe for just a different chapter. Some things might not work because everybody's different, you know?
Yep. There are some different principles that you can use and tricks you can use, and you can personalize it. Some of the things I'm saying, though, are more of a general thing. Something else that you can do to help you remember, and this is what I've been doing for like the last year, is the Bible and audio. Get the Bible on audio. You can go on YouTube. You can listen to the entire Bible on audio. I can even give you a link to it. And it's really good. It's not just someone reading. It's dramatized. It's people acting out with sound effects. And I listen. When I'm at work, I just have the Bible on audio just on all the time. I'm just constantly listening to the Word of God. And I've even recorded people reading it, and I've put my own music to it so that it kind of just helps me remember it, and I can listen to it. I listen to it when I'm in the car. I'm listening to the Word of God when I'm at home. I listen to the Word of God when I'm at work. Have my headphones on when I'm doing the dishes. I'm listening to the Word, constantly keeping it in my head. Because, again, he said, if you keep this Word in your head, if you meditate on day and night, you're going to make your way prosperous, and everything you do will have success. And so, I mean, I'm literally constantly feeding myself the Word of God. And that's another reason why that I'm able to remember it. I'm able to, you know, recall it so quickly, because I try and keep it in my head all the time so that junk doesn't get in. Because it's so easy to get junk in your head. So easy. And so I've decided, that's little by little, I've been cutting stuff out of my life. And I'm not trying to, you know, condemn any of you guys or judging you guys. I'm just saying what I've done. Is that, you know, I got rid of the television, got rid of, I didn't have cable, so I just got rid of the antenna. So I got rid of that. You know, I don't watch any television anymore. I'm very, very careful what I watch or listen to. And primarily, I'm just listening to the Word of God in audio. And as you're just hearing it over and over again, it sticks with you. And it changes you. And like I said, just hearing the Word of God can literally heal your body or change the situation inside of you just by just listening to the Word of God. It's so powerful. Okay, now we're at the final section, which is the living Word, the living Word. So I like to call this the agapeo stage. And I'm sure you all know what the word agapeo means, and that is love. Agapeo is love in action. Or what I like to say, the word or the logos, the thoughts, the ideas, the concepts of God in application. It is a decision to love not based on feelings but on commitment. The agapeo stage is taking the idea, the thought, the logos, and translating that or transferring that into my actions. If you don't do the word of God, you do not know the word of God. All right? I don't care how many degrees you have. And you could be like the Book of Eli, you know, Denzel Washington can quote the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But if you don't apply it or you're unable to actually do it, you don't know anything. And I'm going to tell you why, okay? There's a difference between theory and really knowing something, all right? We can debate theology all we want. You know, we can debate interpretations of Scripture all we want. But if I can prove it by doing it, then the debate is over. For example, you know, people say, well, it isn't God's will for people to be healed supernaturally anymore. And then you go and you heal someone that's got cancer, that ends the debate. And the thing is, once you've done it, that also protects you from being pulled into doubt regarding it, whether or not it's true. You know, you can't do that. I've already done it. What can you say? What can you say to that? I've already done it, you know. Well, you can't speak in tongues. Well, I've already done it. You can't get the Holy Ghost. I've already got it. You know, what? When the devil tries to come at you with doubt and unbelief and to get you to falter on what God's word said, if you've already done it, he can't convince you otherwise. But if you haven't done it, then it's just theory. It's just an idea that, well, he says this and she says that. And then he can kind of argue you out of your place in God. But if you've done it, he can't convince you otherwise because I've done it. I've got the evidence right here. That's another reason why it's so important that we do the word of God. And this is really the stage where we falter the most. Because a lot of us want to hear a good sermon, go to a seminar, and be educated, but we don't want to do anything. And a word that doesn't convict you into action is a pointless word. So Jessica, you had a comment or a question here.
When you were saying that about how when we've already done an action, we can't be convinced that it can't be done because we've already done it. But I think it's the same with the word of God as far as faith in what God has already done. That when we don't feel like we are healed, God has already healed you, because the Bible says that by his stripes you were healed. That the Bible says that you are all, like, that, you know, when you need something and you don't feel like it's been done, find the scripture that says he's already done it and stand in faith. Because just as much as we can have confidence in things that we have already accomplished, we can have confidence in what Christ has already accomplished.
Also well said. That's also another reason why we have testimonies as well. Testimony service is to glorify God and also to testify or to show validity to the word of God being true. When David said, I think it's in Psalm 37, verse 25, where he said that I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor is seed begging for bread. He didn't know that concept because he read it in a Bible. He said, I was young and now I'm old, and I have personally never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his. He was talking from a personal experience. That's one of the most powerful things right there. And so we want to take the word of God and not just read it, but we got to apply it. But not only just apply it, but we got to apply it in love. Because there are people who can apply the word of God, but they do it with the wrong motives, and you can do the right things for the wrong reasons and cause all sorts of hell and mayhem. So you want to be sure that you're applying it correctly. John 14, 15 says, if ye love or agapeo me, keep my commandments. There's a direct correlation or connection between loving God and keeping his commandments, knowing the word of God. So Jesus said, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. John 1:14 says this, and the word, the Logos, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, in 1 John 4, verses 7 through 8, the Bible says that God is love, right? And we read earlier in John chapter 1 that in the beginning the word was God. So that means the word of God is love. Jesus was the word of God in a body. He literally was love walking around in a human body. He was the word being applied in love. Everything that Jesus did was motivated by love, because that's who he is. He is love, and he is the word. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He forgave sinners. He did all these things out of love, and he was fulfilling and showing us the will and the word of God in everything that he did. So the end game, the end game of really knowing the scripture is, can you do it in love? Can you apply it in love? James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The Bible says if you don't do the word, then you're lying to yourself, whether or not you know it. You're lying to yourself. You need to be able to do the word. So we take whatever topic you're studying. Remember, you got your list of verses. Whatever topic you're studying, try and find a way to implement that verse in your actions or to apply it in your actions. Because if you can't do it, then what's the point of even reading it? You know, then we're just in a theology class just talking about different concepts. We're not actually changing anything. We want to be able to apply what God has actually said in his word. So, as I said before, agapeo stage set, there's really only one step, which is apply in love. Apply in love. Do the word of God in love. Find a way to share the word of God in love that showcases God's nature, which is love. And that's how you know someone really knows the scriptures. If they can apply it in love, then they really know it. They really got it. Doesn't matter how many scriptures you can quote. Doesn't matter, you know, you can exegete and interpret and expound and exhort and all this other stuff. If you cannot apply it in love, I cannot emphasize this point any greater or further. If you can't apply it in love, then it's worthless to you. We want to apply the scripture in love. I'm not sure you can see the picture very well. It's a picture of a book, and the book is hugging this person. That's what we want. We want the Word of God to hug people. The Bible calls us living epistles, read of all men. That you are a living word, so to speak. And that whenever people see you, they ought to be seeing Christ in you. And therefore, so when they see, they ought to be able to see love. And whenever you speak to them, in speaking the Word of God, it should be in love. Not in condemnation, not in judgmentalism, but in love. 1 Timothy 1:5 says this, "Now the end of the commandment, the pinnacle, the zenith of fulfilling God's commands is charity out of a pure heart." And that word there in the Greek, charity, is the word agapeo, is the word love. "Now the end of the commandment is agapeo," or love, "out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned," or a faith that is not false or fake. The pinnacle or the number one goal of God's word is that you can apply in love, and that you can apply out of a good conscience from your heart with passion, with sincerity. When you can do that, that is when you truly know the Word of God. And so these are just some tips I wanted to share with you regarding memorizing Scripture. And like I said, it's so powerful, because when you get in a crisis and things are falling apart, and then you got a Scripture, it just makes things so much easier. Or let's say someone is asking for advice or counsel, and you need an answer. If you got the Scripture inside of you, you've got the answer. If someone's trying to say, "Well, your gospel isn't true, your Bible isn't true," you can now defend what you believe. Matter of fact, the Bible commands us to do that in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "Be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lieth in you." That we have an obligation to defend what we believe. And having the ability to do that is memorizing and knowing the Scripture, meditating on the Word of God. So let's just review real quick, and I'm gonna quit, which is, first off, when memorizing Scripture, you want to choose a topic. Choose a topic. It could be faith, it could be marriage, it could be finances, it could be healing, it could be whatever. Choose a topic. Research the Scriptures. Compile a list of verses that deal with that topic. Meditate. Mutter to yourself. Think about it in your head. Then we get to the rhema stage, which means recite. Say it out loud. Pray the Scripture out loud. Pray the Scripture out loud. Whenever you're praying the Scripture out loud, that's the most powerful way to pray. You're enabling God's Word to be manifested and to come to life and to become real. And also, you'll feel it as you're praying it, like you're going to pray in faith, because you've got a guarantee that it's going to work out because God has already said it. Pray, and then, of course, repeat that process as many times as possible. Repeat, say it over and over and over again. Then, of course, finally, what we want to do is we want to apply that in love. Apply it in love. Find a way to manifest or to utilize that principle that the verse is talking about in my actions in love. And that is how you really know the Scripture. If you can follow that, you'll learn the Scripture. And then when people start coming at you crazy with questions or trying to attack your faith, you can contend for the faith, as the Bible says, that was once earnestly delivered to the saints. You can defend your faith because you know what it says. And so that's really all I had to say today on the subject. I hope that it blessed somebody today, that we want to learn the Word of God. We want to learn the Word of God. And like I said, when you do it, and it's just fun. It becomes fun. And also when God starts showing you things in the Word that you never saw before. And also, like I said, you'll start feeling changes in your body. You'll start feeling changes in your thinking. You'll start feeling changes in your spirit. You'll start becoming the new person in Christ. One of my favorite verses to quote, I pray this every morning, is Galatians 2:20, which says that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I love that verse. I mean, you start to develop a love for God speaking to me. Think about it. The God of the universe, the God that framed the heavens and the earth, the God that created the mountains and the trees and the oceans and the rivers and the various celestial bodies that we see when we look at the nighttime sky, took time to write a book to speak directly to your situation. Whatever situation you're dealing with, there is a word in here that covers your case. And you just need to get that word and stand on it. And don't let the devil shake you or convince you to move off of that word. Stand firm on that word. And that's one of the reasons why we don't always receive the promises of God, is because we move off of that word. But if you know the Word of God like you know your first name, the devil can't shake you. He can't move you. So let's stand. We're going to pray and dismiss. The Word of God is so awesome. So amazing. Psalm 19, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119, verse 130 says that The entrance of thy words, it giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. In verse 133 of 119, it says that, order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Look at all these promises that are there concerning the word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I mean, all these promises concerning the word. We just need to get into that word, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Get that word inside you and watch your life take off. Watch you start to experience success in everything that you do. And the thing is, one of the reasons why you're succeeding in everything that you're doing is because the things that you're doing are the things that God wants you to do, right? It's not just well, I just do whatever I want. I can now start my own business and I can go, you know, I can finally get an MBA and start punching out on people. No, that's not it. Doesn't mean you can just do what you want. The reason why you're succeeding is because you're doing things that God authorized you to do. And so because you've got God's backing, then you can't fail. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us, right? Get that word in your heart. Memorize it. Cut all this other stuff out of the way. And watch God do the work. Let us pray today. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for that word. We thank you for the word that was made.